भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं दैवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 20। टुडे वी आर ओपनिंग अ न्यू चैप्टर। दिस चैप्टर 20 इज कॉल्ड एज द स्ट्रक्चर ऑफ द यूनिवर्स एंड वी विल go through text 1 to text 4 because 1 and 2 don't have any purports. Sri Sukam Vacha Atah Param Lakshadinam Pramana Lakshana Samsthanato संस्थानातो वर्ष विभाग उपवर्ण्यते। श्री सुखम वाच सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड अतः परम आफ्टर दिस प्लक्ष आदिनाम ऑफ द आइलैंड नेम्ड Plaksha, and others, Pramana, Lakshana, Samsthanatah, from the angle of dimensions, particular characteristics and form, Varsha Vibhaga, the division of the island, Upavarnyate, the great sage Sukadeva Goswami said, hereafter I shall describe the dimensions, characteristics and forms of the six islands beginning with the island of Plaksha. We'll read the text to translation. As Sumeru mountain is surrounded by Jambudweep, Jambudweep is also surrounded by an ocean of salt water. The breadth of Jambudweep is 100,000 yojanas, which is 800,000 miles, and the breadth of the salt water ocean is the same. As a moat around the fort is sometimes surrounded by garden-like forest, the saltwater ocean surrounding Jambudweep is itself surrounded by Plakshadweep. The breadth of Plakshadweep is twice that of the saltwater ocean, in other words, 200,000 yojanas or 1,600,000 miles. On Plakshadweep, there is a tree shining like gold and as tall as the Jambu tree on Jambudweep. At its root is a fire with seven flames. It is because this tree is a Plaksha tree that the island is called Plakshadweep. Plakshadweep was governed by Idmajiva, one of the sons of Maharaj Priyabrata. He endowed the seven islands with the names of his seven sons. divided the islands among the sons, and then retired from active life to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Text 3 and 4, translation. The seven islands or varshas are named according to the names of those seven sons: Shiv, Yavas, Shubhadra, Shanta, Kshema, Amrita and Abhaya. In those seven tracts of land, there are seven mountains and seven rivers. The mountains are named Manikud, Vajrakut, Indrasen, Jyotishman, Suparna, Hiranyasthiva and Meghamala. And the rivers are named Aruna, Nrimna, Angirasi, Savitri, Shuktabhata, Ritambhara and Satyambhara. One can immediately be free from material contamination by touching or bathing in those rivers. And the four castes of people who live in Plakshadweep, the Hamsas, the Patangas, the Urdhvayanas and Satyandras, purify themselves in that way. The inhabitants of Plakshadweep live for 1,000 years. They are beautiful like the demigods, and they also beget children like the demigods. By completely performing the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas and by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead as represented by the Sun God, they attain the Sun, which is a heavenly planet. The last line is very important. By completely performing the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas and by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead as represented by the Sun God, they attain the Sun, which is a heavenly planet. From the purport point of view, it becomes evident now when we see the purport. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. According to general understanding, there are originally three deities: Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. And people with a poor fund of knowledge consider Lord Vishnu no better than Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. This conclusion, however, is invalid. As stated in the Vedas, Ishtapurtam Bahuda Jayamanam Vishwam Bhivarti Bhuvanasya Nabi Tad Evagnis Tad Vayu Tad Suryas Tad Uf Chandrama Agni Sarva Daivataha. This means that the Supreme Lord, who accepts and enjoys the results of Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, technically called Ishtapurta, who maintains the entire creation, who supplies the necessity of all living entities, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidhadati Kaman, and who is the central point of all creation, is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu expands as the demigods known as Agni, Vayu, Surya and Chandra, who are simply part and parcels of his body. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9.23, ये आपि अन्य देवता भक्ता यजन्ति श्रद्धयान्वितः ते आपि माम एव कौन्तेय यजन्ति अविधि पूर्वकम्. Devotees who worship the demigods with firm faith worship me also, but not according to regulative principles. In other words, if one worships the demigods but does not understand the relationship between the demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his worship is irregular. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita 9.24, Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhur eva cha. I am the only enjoyer of ritualistic ceremonies. It may be argued that the demigods are as important as Lord Vishnu, because the names of the demigods are different names of Vishnu. This, however, is not a sound conclusion, for it is contradicted in the Vedic literatures. The Vedas declare, Chandrama manaso jatas chaksho surya ayat ajayata shrotra dayas cha pranas cha mukhad agnir ajayata narayanat brahma narayanat rudro jayate नारायणा प्रजापति जायते नारायणा इंद्रो जायते नारायणा अस्तव वसवो जयन्ते नारायणा एकादश रुद्र जयन्ते द डेमिगॉड ऑफ द मून चंद्र केम फ्रॉम द माइंड ऑफ नारायण and the sun god came from his eyes the controlling deities of hearing and the life air came from narayan and the controlling deity of fire was generated from his mouth prajapati lord brahma came from narayan indra came from narayan and the eight vasus the 11 expansions of lord shiva and the 12 adityas also came from narayan In the Smriti, Vedic literature, it is also said, Brahma Shambhus Tathaivarkas Chandramas Cha Satakratuhu Evam Adhyas Tathaivanye Yukta Vaishnava Tejasa Jagat Karya Vasanehitu Vyujyante Cha Tejasa Vitejas Cha Te Sarve Panchatvam Upayandite, Brahma, Shambhu, Surya and Indra are all merely products of the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also true of the many other demigods whose names are not mentioned here. This is also true of such demigods. When the cosmic manifestation is annihilated, these different expansions of Narayana's potencies will merge into Narayan. In other words, all these demigods will die. Their living force will be withdrawn and they will merge into Narayan. Therefore, it should be concluded that Lord Vishnu, not Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a government officer is sometimes accepted as the entire government, although he is actually but a departmental manager. So, the demigods, having achieved power of attorney from Vishnu, act on his behalf, although they are not as powerful as he is. All the demigods must work under the orders of Vishnu. Therefore, it is said, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasava Bhritya. The only master is Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu, and all others are his obedient servants who act exactly according to his orders. The distinction between Lord Vishnu and the demigods is also expressed in Bhagavad Gita 9.25. Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Yanti Man Yajino Abhimam. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, whereas the worshippers of Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu go to the planets of Vaikuntha. These are the statements of the Smriti. Therefore, the idea that Lord Vishnu is on the same level as the demigods is in contradiction to the Shastras. The demigods are not supreme. The supremacy of the demigods is dependent on the mercy of Lord Narayan, Vishnu or Krishna. Very long purport, very heavy and driving the point home. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वकदान्तिकं मुखां करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदिनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे So, in this section, there's a new chapter that has opened today. Nevertheless, this chapter is also in continuance of the theme of Vedic cosmology. Now, the Vedic cosmology in this chapter also continues to focus on Bhumandal. Okay. But interestingly, what is happening is that it is moving beyond Jambudvip. Bhumandal is like a CD, a compact disc, which has got many, many concentric circles and sectors. In between, they are saying is the Mount Meru, which is the holder of the CD, if you like. Right? And then the first concentric circle is called as Jambudvip, which is what we have been discussing up until now. Now we are going into the second concentric circle, which is outside, outer circle of Jambudvip, which is called as Lakshadvip, the outer ring. Now between this inner circle and the outer circle, it is mentioned that there is an ocean of salt water. And then so on and so forth. If you go beyond Lakshadvip to the next dvip that will come down the line, you will find that there is another ocean which is separating. So each outer ring is separated from each inner ring by virtue of an ocean. Except that the ingredients of the constitution of that ocean is different. This time it is salt water today, which is separating Jambudvip and Lakshadvip. And then beyond Lakshadvip, there is a sugarcane juice that is coming. Okay. Right. So, that is what is. So, today, now from this section onwards, the focus is on Lakshadvip for some time, and then it will move on to the other sections. Now, it is mentioned that Lakshadvip is double in width to Jambudvip. If Jambudvip was 200,000 yojanas or 1.6 billion miles, Jambudvip was 100,000 yojanas, Lakshadvip is 200,000 yojanas. It is double. And beyond Lakshadvip, it is mentioned there are 5 other dvipas. Total there are saptadvipas, 7. One is already over, Jambudvip. Now we are discussing Lakshadvip. So beyond this, there are 5 dvipas which together constitute the saptadvip of the Bhumandal, which is the earthly planets. Till now we have not even spoken about going beyond Bhumandal. So you can just imagine how huge and vast this whole one material universe is. And like that, there are millions. We are sitting in Tank Street. Right? And like Prabhupada said, and we think we are important. So, just as Jambudvip was divided into various tracts of land. For example, there is Mount Meru, there is a CD player, there is a concentric circle around the CD, the first one Jambudvip. That Jambudvip was divided into various sectors or varshas. Just like that, Lakshadvip is also divided into various varshas, which has been mentioned in these verses. Just as there is one governor of each dvip in Jambudvip or each varsha in Jambudvip, here also there is a governor. Who is a governor? That governor is called as Idmajivha, who is one of the sons of Maharaj Priyavrat. And the Lakshadvip is also divided into 7 varshas, except that here each varsha of Lakshadvip is named after each son of Idmajivha. Now it is mentioned that this Maharaj Idmajivha, he divided these Lakshadvip into these 7 varshas, and after that he retired. Okay, which is good that he was not attached to his construction, if you like. Many times we construct a big house and then we get attached to that house and say that I will not move out of this till we are kicked out. But this Idmajivha, he is responsible for the entire Lakshadvip he constructed, and he divided into sectors and then said that he gave it in charge to his sons and then he retired. Now it is mentioned that every tract of land here has a mountain and a river, and this mountain divides one varsha from the other. That's a segregation. Just as one dvipa and other dvipa is segregated by an ocean, one varsha and another varsha within that dvipa is segregated by a mountain, and then there is a river also. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary to this section says that this mountain range divides the varshas and touches the ocean on both ends, running at right angles to the ocean. Also, he clarifies that the inhabitants who are here mentioned in the verse as Hamsas, Patangas, Urdhvayanas and Satyangas, they represent the Brahmanas, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras respectively. So that is what not mentioned in the translation, but it is mentioned in Vishwamitra Thakur's purports to this. Further, the forms of these people, the forms of these people who are there in Lakshadweep are very similar to the forms of the demigods. That is mentioned here. And it is also mentioned that when they produce offsprings, the offsprings they also produce akin to how the devatas produce. Needless to say, just as in the heavenly planets, the lifespan of these people who are living in Lakshadweep is also very long, 1000 years, it is mentioned. Now, the key point here for today's context is that the inhabitants of this Lakshadweep, they worship the sun god. They worship the sun god. Sorry, now again I am feeling cold. When I came in, I was feeling warm. What to do? So the inhabitants worship the sun god, and it is said that because they worship the sun god, they attain the planet of the sun god. Now, Prabhupada's purport is very interesting here. Okay. All this translation is about, what was all the translation about? About Lakshadweep, the divisions, the Maharaj, what was his name? Idmajiva, right? And then the size, the entire translation is about the construct of this particular place. But nowhere here Prabhupada in the purport is elaborating on the construct. This is the interesting point today, right? So rather than focusing on Lakshadweep, Prabhupada's purport focuses on the difference between Lord Krishna and the demigods. Now, this is what, when I was studying this, I was thinking, what is this? Okay, I was still trying to say, am I not getting something, or Prabhupada has not expanded anything on the purport directly, you know. So the entire purport has nothing to do with Laksha. Then I remembered, you know, that Keshav Prabhu many times told us that Srilam Prabhupada often said that my purports are my devotional ecstasies. And whatever Prabhupada said I have written, they have been dictated to me by Krishna himself. So what did Prabhupada want to spontaneously tell us in this section? So when we study this, it seems evident that Srila Prabhupada spontaneously chooses amongst all this information that is given us to caution his readers of Srimad Bhagavatam not to get swayed by the lifestyle of Lakshadweep Vasis and start worshipping demigods like they did and thus deviating from Krishna consciousness. So the whole purport today, Prabhupada is hammering that point. So Prabhupada therefore is highlighting the difference between worshipping Krishna and worshipping the demigods, and Prabhupada is hammering the supremacy of Lord Krishna over the demigods throughout today's purport. Srila Prabhupada's main concern for us in this section, at least today's section, seems to be to retain our Vyavasayat Mitabuddhi. to sustain our single-pointed focus on Lord Krishna. Because, why? Because what is Prabhupada writing? Which scripture is Prabhupada commenting on now? He is commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam has got only one goal, which is Ananya Bhakti towards Lord Krishna. So whatever other information Srimad Bhagavatam will give is all in context of Lord, we surrendering to Lord Krishna and understanding His supremacy. Not getting enamored with the lifestyle of the Lakshadweep Vasis and desiring a body like the demigod, right? Or thinking how nice the sugar cane ocean will taste. So therefore Prabhupada's purport has got nothing to do with that particular translation directly. So now, the first thing that struck me when I studied this purport is, what would we have done if Prabhupada wouldn't have written purports for Srimad Bhagavatam? Even if someone would have said, are you from Melbourne or out of town, we have got this Srimad Bhagavatam for you, for all the handsome men or whatever. Even if someone would have tricked me like that into buying a book, what would I have understood without Prabhupada's purport? I would have said, wow, Lakshadri, fantastic. Let me go there. Sun God, okay. Oh, Surya, Yanamaha. From tomorrow, start that, right? Because obviously the temptation will be there, but Prabhupada's purports are the ones which keep us focused. So thanks to Shukadeva Goswami for giving us Bhagavatam, but double thank you to Srila Prabhupada for helping us stay focused with the strategic intent of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So that is what I realized when I was studying this. So that we will not only understand and realize, but we will also start practicing Krishna Bhakti, and we will sustain our Krishna Bhakti throughout our study of Srimad Bhagavatam without getting digressed with the phantasmagoria that is presented in the other planets which are like heavenly planets. Now, elaborating on Srila Prabhupada's purport today about the supremacy of Lord Krishna, there is ample Shastra Praman that is available that unequivocally declare the supremacy of Lord Krishna over others. Now, for Westerners, this is easy to accept. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like, for example, when you go to a piano class, one student went and said, I want to learn piano. He said, what is the fee? They said, $100. Okay. For 6 months. Have you studied piano? They said, no. Another fellow came. He said, have you studied piano before? Yeah, I have learned piano before. Okay. $200 for you. Why? Because you have to unlearn before you start learning. So Westerners don't have the problem of unlearning. Okay. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simple, straight, right? So in India, however, it is complicated. So in India, the common notions of God are many, right? And it depends on state to state. But amongst all these common, there are some which are very prominent. When you go to Maharashtra, what they will say? Ganpati Bappa, Boya, Purcha Varshi Laukarya. Ganpati Bappa, okay, which is coming now. Lord Ganesh. Okay. If you go to Maharashtra, Ganpati Varshi. If you go to Bengal, what will they say? Durga. Right? Though Bengal is a land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still Durga worship is prominent there. Okay. So they will say Durga. If you go to south, what they will say? They will say Shiva Bhagavan. Right? Lord Shiva. That is what they will say. Right? Or if you go deeper down south, Lord Shiva also vanishes there. There it is what? Vel Muruga. Lord Murugan, Shiva's son Kartikeya, who is known as Murugan, right? So that is there. Or in villages, if you go, you will find several names of Lord Durga and Kali. Somebody will say, it is Muttu Mariamman for me. Like that. It is Ambike for me. Somebody will say like that. Then if you go somewhere, they will say it is Muppa Daman. Okay, for me it is all, my whole life is centered around Muppa Daman. Someone will say Mahishasura Mardini, Ramyaka Mardini, like that. You know. So this is how it goes. And then if you go again, come back to, you know, Maharashtra and other areas, they will say Santoshima. They will give you Chana, like that. For me Santoshima. There was one, in my building where I used to stay in my childhood, there was one lady, okay. She used to say, for me it is Santoshima. I said, why? And then with tears in her eyes, she explained, once my son was in the swimming pool and then he disappeared in the swimming pool. Then suddenly the son was found in the bottom of the swimming pool. He was resuscitated and the doctors said, no, they said that what to do. So she started praying to Santoshima and the son somehow got his life back. So she said, from that day onward, Santoshima is the Supreme Personality for me. There is nobody. Now, I understand. We understand the mother's sentiment. And even if we were in that position, it's a very, very traumatic situation. Okay. But still, it is backed by lot of emotions and sentiment and affection for her son. So, her affection for her son is reflecting in the fact that she is attached to Santoshima. Okay. Now, it may be quite possible that Santoshima has saved. It is possible. Because what can the demigods not do? They are very powerful living entities. Right. But, however, beyond that, who is the person who has given them that powers? That is not the time to discuss with that lady because she will not understand that. Right? So therefore, it takes a huge amount of effort to convince Indians that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the Shastras give so much rasa praman. So let us dissect today, one by one, let us dissect all these chief demigods and talk about the Shastra Praman. First of all, let us talk about Ganeshji. Ganeshji, where is it mentioned? What is the Shastra Praman? The Shastra Praman is in Brahma Samhita 5.50. Of course, Brahma Samhita only 5 is available, others are not available. But in the 50th verse, what does it say? For Lord Ganesha, it says, Yatpada Pallava Yukam Vinidhaya Kumbha Dvante Pranama Samaye Saganadi Raja Vignan Vihantum Alamasya Jagatrayasya Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So clearly it declares who is Lord Ganesh. It says, Lord Govinda's lotus feet are always held by Lord Ganesh on his Yumalai. Now why will it that be mentioned? If Krishna is not supreme over Lord Ganesh, why will Lord Ganesh hold his feet on his head? Right? So it is clearly mentioned there. However, when people come for the program and then they hear this, they say, yours is ISKCON program. Therefore you are saying Brahma Samhita. As if Brahma Samhita is an ISKCON literature. Is there somewhere else also outside of Brahma Samhita it is mentioned? Which even the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya will also accept. That is how they will talk. So even if you give Shastra Praman, they will think Brahma Samhita is an ISKCON Shastra. Because Brahma Samhita has been discovered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, obviously. So therefore, you know, the predominance is there. But it is not an ISKCON scripture. It was not scripted by ISKCON. So then, for such skeptics who always want outside of this Shastra, then Srimad Bhagavatam is there. Srimad Bhagavatam clearly Lord is saying, Ete chamcha kala kumcha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Right? Now they will say, okay, but still Lord Ganesh. Then we have to tell them, please, my dear rascal, please understand that who scripted this Ete chamcha kala kumcha? Lord Ganesh only scripted that. If he disagreed, he would have told you, hang on, I am not writing anymore, I disagree. You would have said that. He did, he happily scripted. In fact, what did Lord Ganesh tell? It is said that he said, don't stop talking, otherwise I will go on. Keep, let the nectar flow. So Lord Ganesh himself is scripting the Srimad Bhagavatam. So why will he script something which he does not agree to? He is not getting paid for this. Neither does it, even if someone says that Lord Ganesh is supreme, he doesn't need any payment, then why will he script this? Correct? He didn't have any pecuniary motives for this. So therefore, we have to, enough Shastra Praman is there. Now, but what will happen is, people are people. So like Himalala was mentioning the other day, that in Bombay, we have Siddhi Vinayak temple, Lord Ganesh's temple. Outside that, there is a big queue. Anyone who is interviewed why you are standing here, nobody will say for it. Nobody will say. I was also a queue member many years back. Regularly, I used to go. Okay. Why we will go? We will go before examination results. Okay. Or because we have some girl in our mind and we are going to propose and we need blessings of, you know, Lord Ganesh. Ganeshji, something. So these are the reasons why people come, right? Because they say that Siddhi Vinayak, anything is possible. Even if you look like an idiot, that girl will get attracted to you because Siddhis are there. So some magic, you know, nobody is getting attracted. So people stand in various reasons, no, in the queue. Now, if for some reason someone stands in that Siddhi Vinayak queue in Prabhadevi in Bombay and his desires don't get fulfilled, now what happens? If it gets fulfilled, they will say, Jai Ganesh, Pudicha Varshi Laukarya, Ganpati Bappa, Holiya, they will say, right? And then if it doesn't get fulfilled, there was one fellow whose desire did not get fulfilled. Who was that? Me. I am telling from my experience. They said, okay, let's not go to Prabhadevi Ganesh. There is one in Titwala. We will go to Titwala Ganesh, who is on a coconut like that. So we will go to that Ganesh. So what will go? You will go from Bhopal branch to South Melbourne branch. Correct or not? Of the same bank. So one branch to another people will go. Just to fulfill their own desire. And if it still doesn't get desired fulfilled, then what happens? Then you say, Ganeshji doesn't exist. You deny the existence of that personality. And then what will you do? You say, I go to some other demigod. From tomorrow I will worship Lord Murugan. Right? Murugan. Because one brother doesn't listen to me. So let me go to the other brother. Correct? Of both are sons of Lord Shiva. Right? So therefore, this is the mentality. Ultimately, we are in love neither with Lord Ganesh, neither are we loving with love with Lord Muruga. We are in love with our material desires. Simple. Right? Now, let's move on to Durga Devi. Again, Durga Devi clearly it is mentioned. Shrishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chaye Vayasya Divanani Bhuvanti Durga Ichchanu Rupam Apiyasya Chachesta Tesa Govindamani Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahma Samhita 5.24. Durga Devi is a servant of Lord Krishna. She conducts herself in accordance, Ichchanu Rupam, in accordance with Lord Krishna's desire. I was giving this class in my home when I visited Mumbai 3 years back. I was giving this class and I was quoting this verse. One dentist was sitting in my house. He was our family dentist up until that point. He got up. You called Durga servant? Jai Hind! Vande Mataram! Actually, this is what he did. Jai Hind! Vande Mataram! And he went out of the house. I said, what happened to him? You know? And then he came back to that. Again, he opened the door. He said, how can you call servant? Because he had my Lord. And then I went to his dental clinic. I found Durga Devi like this. Big statue is there. Okay. Obviously, he got offended. How can, you know, the person who is, when everyone enters his dental clinic, whoever sees big Durga Devi like that, and I call that Durga Devi a servant. Right? Because in the mind, you know, people have a conception of servant. Because of Hindi movies, you know. Servant means what? Somebody, you know, in that Mallasana. You know what is Mallasana? When you go in Indian toilet, you sit like that. Like that. You know, the servant is sitting in one corner like this with that dirty looking towel on this. And then they say, hey, Mundu, chai lekya. Oh, like that. And then they say, you know, I'm getting, get tea. Like that. No, yeah, get upa. Okay, go and get double, what is that? Double latte. And then the servant is running around and getting. So this is the conception of servant. So people think there will be the Supreme Lord and then Durga Devi is like, hey, Durga Devi, hey, one masala dosa. People think like that. Okay. And this is a servant. Is it then this fellow what? They have no idea that what is it to be a servant of the Supreme Lord. People don't have a conception of that. That is the problem. People think servant means like, you know, someone who will be kicked and treated anywhere. But they don't understand Lord Krishna himself becomes a servant of his devotee and he takes the kicks of Arjuna in battlefield of Kurukshetra to guide the chariot, right? So people don't understand the exalted position of servitorship to Lord Krishna. Therefore they get offended. Now again, if someone says, again, ISKCON scripture, Durga Devi, Srishti Stiti, Brahma Samhita, I will not accept you ISKCON people. So therefore we'll say, okay, thank you very much. Would you accept Padma Puran? Padma Puran will accept. No? Padma Puran, what is written there? Padma Puran, Durga Devi herself is hearing from who? Lord Shiva. Saying, Aradhananam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. And she didn't stop talking to Lord Shiva after that verse. She accepted it. Tasmat Parataram Devi, Tadinanam Samarchanam. Higher than worship of, or everyone is worship of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu Aradhanam Param. And she was sitting there and they didn't get separated after that. Correct? Which means she accepted that. Right? So that is Padma Puran. Right? Now, even Srimad Bhagavatam talks about so many pastimes. I will not go into details, but in 5th canto we see Kali. Jadabharat was there. Jadabharat was trying, they tried to kill Jadabharat, the worshippers of Kali. But what happened? Kali herself, the deity, burst open into flames and then she killed all her own worshippers. Because they tried to harm devotee of Vishnu. That is another Shastra Praman. Advaita Acharya, when he was, you know, young, his eyes were so beautiful. He was called Kamalaksha, like that. So, when his father took him to the king one day, and the king was a worshipper of Durga Devi, and then the father told, you pay obeisances to Durga Devi's deity. Advaita Acharya said, I will not, otherwise, something is going to go wrong if I start paying obeisances there. Father said, no, you have to pay. So then Advaita Acharya paid obeisances and what happened? The deity burst. Why? Because Advaita Acharya is Sadashiva. Which wife will accept obeisances from husband? Correct? Maybe in Kali Yuga, I don't know. Husband accepts beating also from wife. Okay? So what to speak of obeisances? Correct? I don't know about this. But which cultured? I would say family. So obviously, you know. So that is another example. Then another example is given Chaitanya Charitamrita of Chandidas. Chandidas, what do you think? His brother was poor, Chandidas was very wealthy. Brother didn't have a garden. Chandidas had a beautiful flower garden. And Chandidas used to offer worship to Durga Devi every day. But Durga Devi never appeared before him. But one day what happened? His brother, he saw beautiful flowers. And in his mind, he offered that to Vishnu. And Chandidas plucked that flower unknowingly and offered it to his Durga Devi. And on that day, Durga Devi appeared. And Chandidas asked, so many years I have worshipped you, Durga Ma, but you never appeared. But today you appeared. She said, because today you offered a flower which I am looking for. You offered me Krishna Prasadam. Right? And then what happened to Chandidas? Immediately change of consciousness happened. And Chandidas became one of the foremost poets of Vipralamba Bhav. Right? And Mahaprabhu used to relish Chandidas' poems. So from where to where? From being a Durga worshipper to talking about Vipralambas. So lot of Shastri Praman is there. A lot of pastimes are there which talk about the supremacy of Vishnu over Durga Devi. Now coming to Lord Shivji, again Brahma Samhita 5.45. Shiram Yathadadi Vikara Vishesha Yoga. We know that verse. So Lord Shivji is only what? Milk which has turned into yogurt. So there is Shastra Praman which we can give them. But again they will say Brahma Samhita is gone. Therefore, again, we will go again back to Padma Puran, where Lord Shivji himself is telling Aradhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu or Aradhanam Param, both from Durga's point of view as well as Lord Shiva's point of view, that is there. Now, one verse that attracted me from Srimad Bhagavatam is chapter Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shaditam Yadiyate Tatra Kumar Apavratah Sattvecha Tasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo He Adokshajo Me Namasa Vidhiyate. Lord Shiva himself is telling Sati Parvati after the Daksha's pastime, when she is asking, should we go or not go? Like that. Lord Shiva is saying, he's talking about himself. He's saying, I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudev in pure Krishna consciousness. So he himself is saying that he is engaged in offering obeisances. So why we cannot accept? Right? Secondly, Ramakrishna Maharaj, when he was lecturing in Fiji, there is one famous lecture, Demi God Goddesses, you would have seen that. Maharaj is saying, look at Lord Sadashiva. He is sitting with a kamandalu, but he is always chanting on someone. Who is Lord Shiva chanting on? Why he needs to chant? So he is chanting on Mula Sankarsha, which is his Ishta Devata. So clearly there also there is Shastra Brahman that is given here. Then if we say, no, we are Shankara Sampradaya. We are followers of Adi Shankara. What did Adi Shankara tell towards the end? Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudamate. So he says, Bhaja Govindam. He said, all your Sanskrit rules of grammar will not save you if you don't surrender to Lord Krishna. You guys may become Vedic scholars, theologians, grammarians, philosophers. You may get ample recognition for your erudition of the scriptures, but you will not become. You cannot get rid of birth, disease, old age and death till you surrender to the feet of Lord Vishnu. And same Adi Shankara, who is Lord Shiva himself, said, Bhagavad Gita Kinchita Dita Ganga Jalanava Kanika Pita Sakrudapi Yena Murari Samacha Krete Tasyamane Natasya. Right? So he said that surrender to Lord Vishnu, surrender to Murari, the killer of the Mura demon, who is other than Lord Krishna. So that is another Shastra Praman that you have. If you are a hardcore Shankara, right? Then, there is Advaita Acharya. When Advaita Acharya came here, what happened? Advaita Acharya was spreading Maya, was teaching Mayavad playfully, not seriously. Okay? Because Lord Shiva also, he has to do that. Right? Adi Shankara also, he did that. So he was spreading Mayavad. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and beat him. And he, joking. And then Advaita Acharya was running around. And Advaita Acharya's wife, she said that, Mahaprabhu, please don't, he's an old man, don't beat him like this. And Advaita Acharya said, no, let it come, because this was the goal. I wanted this kind of a beating from Lord Krishna. So here is the combination of Sadashiva and Vishnu, who wants to have association with, the sweet association with Lord Krishna himself. So that is another Shastra Praman. If somebody wants to recognize only the supremacy of the Lord by the power of the weapon, I don't agree all the shastras. Tell me if both fight in, you know, in childhood, in school, I always used to have this discussion. It's a very interesting discussion. Every day in school, third standard, fourth standard, fifth standard. Hey, if Amitabh Bachchan fights with Vinod Khanna, who will win? Who tell them? Then there will be one opinion who will say, yeah, Vinod Khanna will win. Another will say, Amitabh Bachchan will win, like that. So this was a constant discussion. You remember? Rajinikanth and Kamala Hassan, if they fight, who will win? You know? Because in the screen, both of them are winning in their respective movies. If they fight, who will win? That is a big question. So we are used to kind of looking up to great personalities. So sometimes a fight will decide who is the best. So here in Canto 10, Chapter 3, the Banasur Yudh comes. Banasur kidnapped Aniruddha. So Krishna took his army, he said, along with the Yadus, they all marched to Banasur. Again, what happened there? It is clearly mentioned in that Yudh. Kartikeya was the son of Lord Shiva, was defeated by Pradyumna, very quickly. So that Kartikeya had to beat a hasty retreat. And then what happened? Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu came face to face. The big battle, right? And what happened? Lord Shiva released his, what is called a Shiva Jwara. Shiva Jwara has got three heads and three legs. Like that. So, it went there. And then what happened? Lord Vishnu released his Vishnu Jwara. And what happened ultimately? Vishnu Jwara immediately annihilated Shiva Jwara. To that extent, what happened? Annihilated in the sense that it was not destroyed, but it was subdued. Because Lord Shiva also, Krishna is very careful. Lord Shiva is actually Vaishnavana Yata Shambhu. So he did not destroy the weapon in that sense. But what he did? He subdued the power of Shiva Jwara, so it could not do anything. And Shiva Jwara recognized that. So it left Lord Shiva himself. And it went and surrendered to Lord Vishnu, and the chapter talks about the prayers of Shiva Jwara to Lord Vishnu. What is the Shiva Jwara is addressing Lord Krishna, saying, "Oh Lord," Shiva Jwara calls Lord Krishna as what? The person who possesses Ananda Shakti. So Shiva Jwara is recognizing the power of Lord Krishna. He says, "You are the possessor of unlimited potency. You are Paresha, the supreme controller, and then you are Sarvatma, the super soul of all beings. Even of Lord Shiva." This is Shiva Jwara's prayer, right? Now, if someone says, no, hang on, let us talk about celibacy, right? Lord Shiva is the ultimate celibate who never gets disturbed by women, right? He can have so many celestial damsels, he never gets agitated. Yes, it is a fact. But when the Mohini avatar came in front of Lord Shiva, what happened? It said that Lord Shiva was running behind Mohini avatar, right? Uncontrollably, right? He had no control over his body when he ran after Mohini avatar. So that is another Shastra Praman, that Vishnu can subordinate anyone simply by his beauty. Then somebody will say, what about benedictions? He can give so many benedictions. Yes, Lord Shiva can give so many benedictions. He is Asutosh, easily pleased. But he gave benediction to Vrikasura also, right? And who had to come and save at that point in time? He gave benediction to Vrikasura that whoever's head you touch, they will die. But then Vrikasura went and tried to touch Lord Shiva's head only. And then he was running here and there. So that time Lord Vishnu had to come and save him. Now, even if you extricate ourselves from Leela and we go to Tattva, in terms of Tattva also, it is said in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha, Krishna's first expansion of Shiva Tattva is Sadashiva. In Vishnu Tattva it is Balaram, but it is parallelly Sadashiva is the immediate expansion, Rudra expansion, who is also always worshipping and meditating on Mula Sankarsha. So even in terms of Tattva it is mentioned. Finally, coming to Brahmaji, some people say Brahma is the creator. In Tamil there is one song, Brahma nukku moodu vanthu unne padaccha. You remember that song? Annamalai song, right? So Brahma has created you. So everyone thinks that Brahma is the creator. Nobody can go beyond Brahma. How did Brahma get the mood to create someone? Who gave him the talent to create like that? Actually, that song is, the hero is telling the beauty about the heroine, saying that Brahma got into a good mood and produced someone beautiful like you. But who gave the ability to Brahma? So to the producer, director, we have to tell that. So to him, we have to give Bhagavatam, second canto, third canto. Tell him, excuse me,
there is Sarga and there is Visarga, right? Brahmaji was struggling actually without knowing what to do. He himself did not know why he existed, correct? Then he traveled astral travel and he could not find Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Then he did tapa. And then Vishnu advised him, empowered him, and then Brahmaji himself in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.12, Brahmaji is telling Narad Muni, I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna or Vasudev, the personality of Godhead, whose invincible potency influences everyone to call me as the supreme controller. So he says, the less intelligent class of men call me as the supreme controller. And who is influencing this less intelligent class of men? Vishnu himself. He is bewildering them. Then Brahma Vibhoga Leela, another classic example where Brahmaji stole all the cowherd boys. Again, Vishnu bewildered him. Then, if someone says, no, let us talk about qualities, let us compare in terms of qualities. So, in chapter 89 of the 10th canto, the famous pastime comes, when Bhrigu Muni is sitting with some people, sages, and they are all discussing, who is the supreme amongst the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu or Mahesh? Who can retain his mode of goodness amidst the most challenging situation? So what happens? Bhrigu Muni goes to Brahmaji, his father, and he doesn't show respect. Brahmaji gets extremely angry and he has to burn him before that he leaves the place. Then he goes to Shiva and again he's telling Shiva, what are you? No, the ghosts and goblins around you, all ash smeared. He's directly insulting with words. With Brahmaji, at least he did not pay obeisances. But with Shiva, he is explicitly, ridiculing Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva got so angry, he was going to chop him off. And then and there. But Parvati came and said, no, leave him alone. Right? But he could see the anger of Lord Shiva. And anger of Lord Shiva is not very easy. Right? And then he went to Vishnu. And then what did he do? Now, he did not forget about not paying obeisances, forget about words, with action, he kicked on the chest. Suppose you kick someone on the chest, will they pardon us? Even if you touch someone's car, they can actually understand. How dare you touch my car? No, like that. Even if you park in someone's parking lot, people get offended, right? So if you kick someone on the chest, how much they will get offended? You can just imagine how angry they will be. Excuse me, I'll come now. To finish it. And what did Vishnu say? Vishnu said, thank you very much for kicking me in my chest. Because you are such an exalted personality, because your feet have touched my chest, my wife will not leave me now. Because Lakshmi will always reside in my chest. So he is thanking me actually. Will someone thank us? Thank you for kicking me in my chest. Will anyone say like that? If we kick someone, no, nobody will say like that. But Vishnu is saying that. Which means what? He is in control of his anger more than Brahma and Shiva. So in terms of these qualities also the Bhagavatam talks about this. In terms of benedictions, Lord Brahmaji gave benediction to Hiranyakashipu and he couldn't take it back. It was then Lord Narasimha who had to come and sort it out. Right? So if you see in Bhagavad Gita again, Lord Krishna himself is saying, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Mattaha Sarvam Pravartate. I am the supreme controller. All these people are the cabinet ministers who work under the prime minister having different portfolios. And then in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna elaborates that, but even after explaining all these things, you people will still run to the demigods because you want your cheap material benedictions. So Lord Krishna is again cautioning us that even though they are able to give material benedictions, what is the nature of their benedictions? A. All those benedictions which they are offering you are coming from me only, because I am only empowering them to give those benedictions. Just like if you go to a bank, if you go to a teller and give cash, you don't tell the teller, oh Mr. Teller, how nice you are. You are always giving me money whenever I come. Oh ATM, you are God, because whenever I put my card and punch 4 digits, you give me money. How nice you are, Mr. ATM. Nobody will hug the ATM saying that ATM is God, because it gives me always money whenever I want. Behind the ATM, there is someone who is checking your own bank balance and giving you your own money. Right? Maximum credit card. They will catch you with a scruff of your neck if you don't pay. So the demigods can have a little bit of a credit card power. They can give you a little bit more than your karma, or they can bring your karma forward a little bit and give you. But beyond that, they can't even give. Because credit card also has got a limit. There's a limit how much overdraft a bank can give you. Right? So therefore, people don't understand this.
Further, people don't understand that the benedictions of the demigods are temporary, right? They cannot understand that the benediction which we get from the demigod will bind you more into the sense gratification cycle. They will not liberate you. People don't understand this. And also people don't understand that the benedictions of the demigods are actually harmful, not good for you. For example, if a small son is there, okay, he goes to the shopkeeper. In India, cigarettes are available everywhere. He goes to the shopkeeper and says, "Hey, I want this cigarette brand." What the shopkeeper will say? Okay, he will say 10 rupees. Okay. If he says 10 rupees, if he gives, the shopkeeper will happily give cigarette. And shopkeeper will say, "Every day you come, I will give you more. I have better cigarettes also." But if the child goes to the father and says, "Father, 10 rupees cigarette," what will the father give? One slap. In this country, I don't know whether it is allowed. In India, one slap. Straight. Pack. Cigarette? You rascal. Right? At such a young age. Because this is father. Because father's chastisement, father is not saying, $10 you are giving, very good, very good, I will give a cigarette. No. Because father knows that though the son is giving me money, whatever the son is asking is not good for him because there is love over there. So the father doesn't go by karma, which is like a currency. Oh, you have $10, I will give it to you. Whereas the demigods will give it to you if you have the karma. So therefore, there are a lot of reasons where the Shastra says that do not go to the demigods for material benedictions. And even if a fool thinks, no, I will go to the demigods because I want a wholesome life, I want to enjoy my life. How many demigods can you go to? Because there are 16, how many demigods are there?
33 million
demigods are there. 33 million aspects are there in our life which need to be addressed, right? Who will you go to? If you go to the demigod who is in charge of the kidney, you will get a liver problem. If you go to the in charge of liver, then you will get a heart problem. And so many demigods are there. Who will you worship in one lifetime? It is impossible anyway. Therefore, Krishna says people who worship the demigods are called as what? Alpamedasa. Fools, right? Now, to conclude our class, how do we bring people out of this? So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the answer in Madhurya Kadambini. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, see, Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion has started with the stages of bhakti, starting from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Anartha Nivritti, Bhajana Kriya, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava and Prema. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur went into N-1. He went one level below in the first shower of Nectar in Madhurya Kadambini. What does he say? But how does Shraddha manifest? Where does Shraddha come from? And therefore Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Shraddha comes from what? Ahaituki. Because bhakti is Ahaituki and Yadrichchai. Ahaituki means what? Causeless. Where does this Shraddha come from? Ahaituki means what? Causeless means what? There is no external cause for this bhakti. But still there has to be some cause. So it is said the cause of bhakti is called as causeless because bhakti itself is the cause of bhakti. That is Ahaituki. And Yadrichchai means suddenly how it comes in someone. Without anything, suddenly someone starts chanting, dancing, etc. How does it come? How does someone get this bhakti? So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur concludes that Lord Krishna is very partial in who he wants to give bhakti to. Though otherwise he is very impartial. He is impartial and partial. Because he is impartial because he gives equal rain to everyone. He gives equal food to everyone. He gives equal facilities for bhakti to everyone. Everyone has an option of accessing Bhagavad Gita, but still he is partial to that devotee who, despite 50,000 people not accepting, accepted it. That one rare soul who is accepting that Bhagavad Gita and who is accepting Krishna Bhakti. So Lord says, I am slightly favorable to them also. But if the Lord is slightly favorable, still somebody may say, no. Then the Lord is still favorable. Okay. So what decides who becomes a devotee? So, it is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur concludes saying that how does the Lord implement His favor? Through the medium of His devotee. Prema Maitri Kripa Upeksha Yaha Karoti Samadhyama. So, the devotee, the Madhyama Adhikari is the one who discriminates who to give mercy and who not to give mercy. So, therefore, if someone has to develop the basic Shraddha to start Krishna consciousness, what he says, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that we have to build their Shukriti. And Shukriti starts by association of devotees, by serving devotees. Even by accepting the Bhagavad Gita from their hands, their Shukriti starts. So therefore, for people who are stubborn, who cannot understand the supremacy of Vishnu over demigods, especially the problem is more in Indian context. How do we do that? That's why Prabhupada instituted the program of prasadam distribution. So by prasadam distribution, we are building their Shukriti. By book distribution, we are building their Shukriti. By Harinam, we are building their Shukriti. By outreach programs, we build their Shukriti. By Bhakti Vrikshas, we are building their Shukriti. Even our Sri Krishna Prabhu's photographs, by sending photographs of deities, the morning they see, they simply appreciate how beautiful are the deities. We are building their Shukriti. So we have to build their Shukriti through all these processes. And that is the only hope that they will come out of their stubbornness of worship of demigods and then migrate to the platform of Krishna Bhakti. So I will stop here and ask if there are any questions or comments.
Yes. With the creation of the demigods, you say that they are created. So when we look at the creation process, the Lord glances, then Mahatattva, then Ahankar, the mode of goodness produces mind and the demigods. So my question is like, do the demigods come out first before the rest of the jivas or?
Yes, the demigods come out before the rest of the jivas, because the demigods are in charge of the bodies of the jivas. So they have to ready it up and then the soul enters that, is given that body.
Okay.
So that is my understanding. Gopal, please correct me.
So which means the impregnation?
In fact, demigods are there even before the Visarga. There are Sarga demigods and then there are Visarga demigods. So even before Brahma, there are Vishnu personally creates some demigods. That is also mentioned in third canto. I think chapter 9 or something like that. We will see that.
So their karma and depending on their Shukriti, so they are advanced, so they are allowed to come out.
Definitely.
Yeah,
they are higher devotees of the world, though they are Vishri Bhaktas. But it is possible for a jiva who comes later to develop Shuddha Bhakti, which even the demigod may not have. That is possible by the mercy of an exalted Paramahamsa Vishnu. Thank you. Kratra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Prabhupada ki.